This morning, America's first news starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Infrastructure impasse. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Wednesday, June 9th. Glad you could be with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
President Biden has called off infrastructure negotiations with a group of GOP senators, but there are talks happening among other groups.
A new report from a bipartisan group of lawmakers highlights the extreme intelligence failures during the Capitol riot 5 months ago.
After 2 days of meetings in Mexico and Guatemala, Vice President Kamala Harris says she'll visit the U.S. southern border.
And on the job front, do you still need an internship before graduating college?
You should absolutely do everything you can to complete an internship before you finish college, maybe more so now than ever. There's data from the National Association of Colleges, colleges and Employers from last year indicated that employers were much more likely to make offers of full-time employment to class of 2020 interns than they were to those who had interned in previous years.
Catherine Dill at the Wall Street Journal on the importance of college internships. President Biden has called off an effort to reach an infrastructure compromise with several Senate Republicans after progress stalled. Instead, he'll speak to a separate group of Republicans and Democrats, Senate Democratic leader Chuck Schumer.
But we're not going to sacrifice the bigness and boldness in this bill. We will just pursue two paths, and at some point they will join.
West Virginia Senator Shelley Moore Capito was the lead negotiator for Republicans.
They moved the goalposts on me a couple times, and they just decided to walk away.
So what now?
You have to ask him.
Weeks of discussions between Mr. Biden and a group of six Republicans has left the two sides still deeply divided. An exchange of offers last week did little to resolve the major disputes like raising taxes, something Mr. Biden thinks is a good idea. Republicans do not. Separately, the bipartisan Problem Solvers Caucus yesterday released a more detailed version of its $1.2 trillion physical infrastructure proposal. Vice President Kamala Harris says she'll visit the U.S. southern border. She made the remark at the end of her two-day trip to Guatemala and Mexico. After meeting with Mexico's president yesterday, she pushed back on a criticism that she's not been to the border since President Biden asked her to work on reducing the number of migrants arriving at the U.S. and Mexico border.
I think it's short-sighted for any of us who are in the business of problem-solving to suggest we're only going to respond to the reaction as opposed to addressing the cause.
She stressed that the reasons why migrants from Central America make the dangerous trip to the border would take time to resolve. Separately, after meeting with Mexico's president, the vice president told reporters she had been to the border before and will go again. Ms. Harris, who was a U.S. senator from California, starting in 2017 and traveled the country running for president in 2020, did not specify when she last visited the border. Senate investigators have outlined a spectacular series of intelligence and communication failures leading up to the January 6th attack on the Capitol. A new 127-page report paints the picture of a horrific scene that left lawmakers and staff scrambling for safety. It's the first full congressional committee review and pieces together multiple warnings of violence that were poorly circulated. Michigan Senator Gary Peters.
There was certainly a breakdown when it came to the intelligence services from both the Capitol Police as well as the broader intelligence services that should have put out a warning to local law enforcement.
Capitol Police forces were left unprepared for clashes with hundreds of protesters outside and inside the building. More now from Rebecca Beitsch, reporter at The Hill. Rebecca, give us some takeaways.
Yeah, so I think the basic takeaways are just some of what has already come out in the hearings, where you're just seeing layers and layers of intelligence and security failures that all culminated with this attack on the Capitol.
All right. So in one case, I think you said it sort of captured everything from that day where there was a radio communication of some kind, which said, does anybody have a plan And that was what, Capitol Police commander talking to somebody on the ground at the Capitol? What happened with that?
That was one of the officers who was joining in on the radio. And the top leaders of the Capitol Police have been coming under a lot of heat because they didn't really communicate with their officers on the day of the attack. There is one quote in the report that really stuck out to me as well, which was just that senior officers were directly engaged with rioters during the attack, and U.S. Capitol Police leadership never took control of the radio system to communicate orders to its frontline officers.
Wow. So did the report point to bad training, bad execution, or just no plan, a little bit of all of that?
A little bit of all of the above. I think one of the things that this report really helps show, it just in terms of all the different layers, is just how many different early signs there were that different groups were planning to come to the Capitol that day, were planning to come armed, and just a number of systemic failures in terms of getting that information to the right people. And that even as, you know, you had online chatter with people specifically saying to bring guns and be prepared to draw down on law enforcement officers, that they still considered the likelihood of attack, quote, remote to improbable.
Wow. We're speaking with Rebecca Beitsch, reporter at The Hill. She's written a piece about the new report on the January 6th intelligence failures during the Capitol riot. So how about, so we can all, I think, agree that things went very poorly that day. Failing to plan is planning to fail, you know, but what about solutions going forward?
So one thing that lawmakers have said that they're going to do is introduce legislation that would allow the Capitol Police Chief to specifically request National Guard assistance in an emergency. Right now, they have to get approval from the Pentagon. That was something that was delayed on the day of the attack. So legislation would allow them to do that. They have a series of, I mean, it's dozens of recommendations in the report. I think the other thing that will be interesting to see what moves forward now is the House has already passed a $1.9 billion upgrade to Capitol security. That's yet to be taken up in the Senate. And then there's also the legislation to create an independent commission to also study the attack on the Capitol that would issue its own series of recommendations. And the Senate has yet to advance that either.
Right. Were there other shortcomings that stood out from this report?
One interesting detail to me was there had been a lot of questions about sort of the optics of this, if that's one of the factors that delayed the Pentagon from approving sending National Guard to the Capitol that day. And according to the interviews that Senate investigators did with high up DOD officials, they cited the response to their handling of the protests over the summer after the death of George Floyd and feeling like they had over militarized their response and been too aggressive. And they cited lessons learned from those protests as part of the reason why they felt they needed to hold back and put more control on authorizing that type of assistance for emergencies.
Thanks, Rebecca. Rebecca Beitsch, reporter at The Hill. Coming up next, why China says a new bill shows the U.S. suffers from paranoid delusion.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything it has at you. And to succeed, you need someone to guide you through. That's what Dell Technologies Advisors do. They have the tech advice to help you navigate whatever challenges you're up against and get you safely to where you want to be.
For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday. The Senate has given the green light to a bipartisan $250 billion bill boosting government spending on technology research and development amid rising competition from China and other nations. We get more from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The legislation could reverse several long-term trends in U.S. competitiveness. Those include declining federal investments in research overall and a shrinking share around the world in semiconductor manufacturing. Supporters say the U.S. also has lacked an agency clearly focused on cutting-edge science, such as artificial intelligence technology. The bill aims to fill that gap with an expanded role for the National Science Foundation. The bill, known as the U.S. Innovation and Competition Act, passed 68-32. It still needs approval in the House. Gordon.
Thanks, Mike. Meanwhile, Beijing today accused Washington of paranoid delusion after Senate approval of that bill. Also, the size of the final vote tally in the Senate suggested that the package could see wide support. Much of the legislation authorizing major spending increases also must still be funded by Congress. 20 minutes after the hour on This Morning, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
Set to embark on the first overseas trip of his term, President Biden is eager to reassert the U.S. on the world stage. Biden has set the stakes for his 8-day trip in sweeping terms, believing the West must publicly demonstrate it can compete economically with China as the world emerges from the pandemic. Building toward the trip-ending summit with Russia's Vladimir Putin, Biden will aim to reassure European nations the U.S. can once again be counted on as a dependable partner.
Number two.
Some 800 people are facing charges after an elaborate years-long sting in which the FBI secretly ran a phone encryption program that officials say criminals unwittingly used to facilitate drug transactions worldwide. FBI Special Agent Suzanne Turner says the FBI's encrypted device company was used by more than 300 criminal organizations in the U.S., Canada, Australia, New Zealand, and Europe that unknowingly communicated about narcotic shipments.
The criminal users didn't know that for more than 18 months, the FBI captured more than 27 million messages between users around the world who had their criminal discussions reviewed, recorded, and translated by the FBI.
Tons of illegal drugs have been seized.
Number three.
Vice President Harris said at the conclusion of a trip to Mexico and Guatemala that she would visit the U.S. southern border and stressed that the reasons why migrants from Central America make the dangerous trip to the border would take time to resolve.
The issues that are longstanding by virtue of the nature of them are never going to be solved overnight. But it is important that we make progress. I remain optimistic about the potential for that progress.
During her trip, Harris repeatedly discouraged migrants from traveling to the southern U.S. border while promoting U.S. economic investments in Central America. We're using more connected devices than ever. According to a new report from Deloitte, the average household has 25 connected devices, up from 11 in 2019, including laptops, smartphones, streaming devices, smart TVs, headphones, and gaming consoles. Deloitte says the onset of the pandemic was like a time machine that suddenly propelled us tens of years into the future. 58% of households now have a smartwatch or fitness tracker, while 14% of the device owners bought their fitness gadgets after the start of the pandemic.
You know what's going to happen. You're going to say to somebody, I got to go get bread and gas, and you're going to get in the car, and the car is going to say, you really need to get the gas first. This is going to be like a priority thing because they're listening to everything.
True.
When you start a small business, you do it because it's something you love, but it brings new challenges you might not have thought of, mainly HR. HR compliance issues can cause complex problems that, let's face it, you don't have time for, and it's got to be done right or it could destroy your business. Bambee, spelled B-A-M-B-E-E, was created specifically for small business. Get a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to craft HR policy and maintain your compliance, all for just $99 a month. And there's no risk. It's month-to-month with no hidden fees. You can cancel anytime. Bambee's dedicated HR managers will know your business and your specific concerns no matter what state you're in. With Bambee, you'll have peace of mind and never worry about HR compliance again. For the first time ever, Bambee is offering a free trial at Bambee.com/Gordon. Bambee.com/Gordon. This is their best offer ever. Start your free trial at Bambee.com/Gordon. Glad you're with us. How important is it for college students to complete an internship before graduation? Catherine Dill, reporter at the Wall Street Journal, spoke with recruiters who say the pandemic has made interning more important than ever. Catherine, students want to know, do you still need one?
Well, the very clear answer is yes. You should absolutely do everything you can to complete an internship before you finish college. Maybe more so now than ever. There's data from the National Association of Colleges and Employers from last year indicated that employers were much more likely to make offers of full-time employment to class of 2020 interns than they were to those who had interned in previous years. So the answer here is pretty clear.
All right. And it does not seem like the pandemic was any kind of excuse, right? I mean, if you were doing at least a virtual internship, depending on the field, of course, it seems like you had a leg up.
Yes. So that's interesting. Employers did make offers to a higher share of virtual interns than they did to on-site interns, which is pretty interesting. There weren't that many on-site interns, to be sure, but that is sort of interesting and kind of flies in the face of the idea that, you know, not being in the office prevents you from getting this valuable face time. But there's also the reality that the pandemic has made campus recruiting much more difficult. The vast majority of it was virtual in the past year, and that makes it much harder for recruiters to connect with students in person. And so in that situation, it makes perfect sense why they would want to draw from their existing intern classes.
Yeah, geez. All right, so is that landscape just as competitive, say, as pursuing a full-time job upon graduation?
That's tough to say. I mean, interns certainly who do well in summer internships and keep in touch with those employers definitely have a leg up. You know, they are someone that the employer already knows their strengths, their potential weaknesses or areas for growth. So they've always, you know, had a leg up against a candidate that the employer hasn't met yet. But certainly now that it's much harder for employers to connect with potential entry-level talent that they haven't met, those interns are going to be in a really good position.
Yeah. We're speaking with Catherine Dill, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. Her story is called, Do You Need to Do an Internship Before You Graduate from College? And the short answer is yes. Speak to the onboarding process here and how an internship might factor in.
The onboarding process, yeah, and having had an internship with an organization, I mean, one of the major advantages is that you are already familiar with the ins and outs and idiosyncrasies of a particular organization, which is often where it takes entry-level employees, no matter how skilled or how potentially experienced, a longer time to get up to speed.
Thanks, Catherine. Catherine Dill, reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Innovation, resilience, agility. It's how Michigan businesses work together and continue to build the future. Our expertise, talented workforce, and collaborative environment are making a difference now and shaping the future. Join us and make your mark where it matters. Visit michiganbusiness.org/radio to put your plans in motion. That's michiganbusiness.org/radio.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Wednesday, June 9. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Biden calls off infrastructure talks with the GOP. Vice President Harris promises a visit to the southern border. IRS probing how the confidential tax return information of some rich people was released. Senate approves a bill designed to help the U.S. better compete in the tech world. Latest stock propelled by chatter on Reddit. Clover Health Investments up 86% yesterday. ESPN says Super Bowl champ Tampa Bay had the best offseason. And the escaped elephants that have gone viral in China. That story in about 20 minutes. This portion of the program is brought to you by Dell. Sometimes it feels like the world is throwing everything at you. Dell Technologies advisors have the tech advice you need to navigate whatever you're up against. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL. There's an eyebrow-raising technology buried inside millions of Amazon Echo smart speakers and Ring security cameras. They have the ability to make a new kind of wireless network called Sidewalk that shares a slice of your home internet connection with your neighbor's devices. And as of yesterday, Amazon is switching Sidewalk on for everyone. Giving the thumbs down to the idea is Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at the Washington Post, which is owned by the founder of Amazon. Jeff, explains Sidewalk.
Yeah, Sidewalk is a new kind of network, that wireless network that Amazon is making, that's designed to connect up smart home gadgets, security gadgets and devices, tracking devices, and also maybe some other things that Amazon hasn't said yet. And it's that last part that makes it a big question mark and a concern for a lot of people.
Yeah. One of them being you. You're not a fan of this. How come?
I'm not a fan of it for a couple of reasons. First of all, Sidewalk, the way it works is it takes your existing Amazon devices, your Echo speaker, your Ring cameras, and it switches on their ability to take a little bit of your home's internet connection and share it with people around you. And Amazon did this, switching it on as of Tuesday, without asking people's permission first. It just did it and then gave you the option to opt out if you so wanted. But of course, most people aren't gonna dig around in the settings to do that. So that's the biggest reason I'm concerned about it, but I've got some others. Another one is we don't really know how secure it is yet. It's creating a new kind of wireless network, and Amazon says that they've triple encrypted it, which is great, but it's not really been tested, you know, at scale before. And so there are just some question marks about that. And most of the smart security folks that I know say, gosh, it doesn't sound like a good idea to open a slice of your home network to others. And then last but not least, you know, we don't really know what Amazon's totally building here, right? Like certainly if you join Sidewalk and you share some of your internet connection with your neighbors, you're gonna enable them to, you know, maybe add more Ring security cameras and surveillance devices. And already some people are pretty uneasy about the idea that Amazon and their Ring business is building out Big Brother across many, many towns and communities. What else is Amazon going to do with this? Is Amazon going to use this network that only it controls for its own business? Is it going to use it to track packages? Is it going to use it for to track its drones that it's told us that it's going to send out over our cities? So there's just so many questions here that Amazon really needs to answer that I think folks should turn it off until we get some really good answers.
All right. I have an envision maybe a worst case scenario. Maybe it's unrealistic, but by sharing my network through Amazon with my neighbors, like they potentially could see like my banking login and password.
Yeah, so this is one of these open questions that we have about it. So that gets to the security question. So the information that Sidewalk passes through your network, what's more at risk is actually the data coming from your neighbors, the ones that are joining your Sidewalk network. We don't have any reason to believe that Sidewalk would, you know, necessarily expose the traffic on your internal home Wi-Fi network. But again, these are all big questions.
We're speaking with Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at The Washington Post. He's taking a look at this new feature from Amazon called Sidewalk, in which it shares your internet connection with neighbors. So how do you opt out?
Yeah, so first of all, you need to have one of these eligible Ring or Echo speaker devices in your home for Amazon to even give you the option. So which ones are eligible? Well, unfortunately, it's a really long list that I can't rattle off here. But it goes back to Ring and Echo devices from 2018. I've got a fuller list in my column on the Washington Post, and then Amazon has the full list on its website. So you have to make sure you have got one of these devices that's eligible. And then if you go inside your Alexa app, and then you find your way to settings and then account settings, inside of there, you will find a Sidewalk network setting, and you'll have to switch that off. I've got a little graphic where I show you what to tap on in my column at the Washington Post.
Boy, you get the sense that others may do something like this, other companies like Amazon, which provide these devices?
Yeah, it's a really good point that, you know, Silicon Valley has big designs on creating networks that go beyond what the cell phone carriers have.
Thanks, Jeff. That is Jeffrey Fowler, technology columnist at The Washington Post. Coming up next, Air Force One delayed by cicadas.
This is a metaphor for your business's journey. Sometimes it feels like you're going 100 miles an hour, barely keeping up. But to cruise through challenges, you need someone who's right there with you. That's what Dell Technologies advisors do. They have the tech advice you need to get past whatever's in front of you and get to where you want to go. For advice on solutions like XPS 13 laptops powered by Intel Evo platform, call an advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Hey, thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. It's time now for the mic drop with this morning's Mike Gavin.
Good morning. Well, by this point, we certainly know they're out there. They're in the trees, they're on the ground, and now they're in the airplanes. I'm talking about cicadas. And the members of Brood X caused a high-profile problem just outside of Washington, D.C. last night. The charter flight that was to take members of the White House press corps to follow President Biden overseas for the G7 was delayed last night due to an infestation of cicadas. The plane full of reporters tweeted about the incident, of course, citing a mechanical issue caused by the swarm of the bugs delaying their flight out of Dulles Airport for 7 hours, only finally taking off for the UK just before 4 a.m. Eastern time this morning. And there was also plenty of jokes to be had on Twitter. One user wrote, "Are the cicadas considered to be hijackers, and is the FBI negotiating for the release of the plane?" Adding, "What are the demands of the cicadas?" Boy, the cicadas have gotten feisty with the warm weather now, with the really hot weather on the East Coast.
Yeah.
They've gotten super feisty. We've seen them ourselves outside of our own building here. Yeah. They almost wouldn't let us in the last couple of days.
Right. They were all over the wall as we entered. I guess seeking light?
Yeah.
I'm not sure.
Like most bugs, I guess they really like to be near the light,
yeah.
I'm guessing.
I did carry one in on my gym bag yesterday. As I made my way, as I navigated through the cicadas at the front door of the building.
Right.
One came in on my bag.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I walked back outside and flicked it off.
Oh, boy.
He was unwilling.
Yeah.
It took two flicks to move him, actually.
Well, you only got one. You probably were lucky because it seemed like they all wanted to get in. Yeah.
By the way, so we have like some of the best technology, mm-hmm. I presume, in people and bug people in the world. It took 7 hours.
Yeah.
To free up Air Force One from the cicadas?
Yeah, and this is a separate plane. This is like a separate press plane. I don't think this was Air Force One. This is a separate press plane. So they, I think they had to bring in another plane. Like, I guess this plane was out of commission and they had to bring in another plane from someplace else because they didn't have a backup plane ready to go.
Yeah.
Because it was not Air Force One. It was just the press plane.
Got
so,
it.
Of course, we had to go get some plane from someplace else.
Right, right.
Have them sit around for 7 hours. And speaking of our nation's capital, even hardcore football fans would be forgiven if they weren't sure who quarterback Ryan Fitzpatrick was suiting up for this upcoming season. The well-traveled veteran is famous for spending a year or two sprinkling his Fitzmagic on a team before moving on to another city. Well, this year, it's Washington's turn to employ Fitzpatrick, his eighth team in 17 seasons. And when the QB showed up for his first day of minicamp this week, the team decided to take a page out of kids' first day of school pictures to celebrate it. The team tweeted out a photo of Fitzpatrick in uniform with his trademark bushy beard, holding up a chalkboard with his first day information printed in colored chalk. The board read, "Ryan's first day of year 17. My teacher is Mr. Rivera. I am 38 years old. I'm 74 inches tall. My friends are Terry and Curtis," likely referring to Washington receivers Terry McLaurin and Curtis Samuel.
Wow.
That is good stuff.
Eight teams in 17 seasons.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
You're good, but not that good.
Right.
That's
yeah.
what that means, right?
Yeah. We well-traveled
yeah.
Yeah, would be the phrase there.
Yeah. Can we borrow you for a season or two? It's like European soccer. You're on loan
right.
to
yes.
another team.
Yeah,
right?
That's a good way to put it.
Thanks, Mike. 13 minutes in front of the hour. On This Morning, America's First News.
As a business owner, you eventually realize you can't do everything yourself, but hiring is complicated. And what if you only need part-time help? Belay, an innovative staffing solution, has successfully matched thousands of businesses with part-time virtual assistants, bookkeepers, and social media strategists. Belay offers you a virtual support team that can transform your workday. Let Belay help you juggle less and accomplish more. Just go to Belay, B-E-L-A-Y, solutions.com/deal. That's Belay Solutions. .com/deal.
Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Wednesday. Americans are becoming less optimistic about being able to buy a home. A new report from Fannie Mae found that only 35% of us believe it's a good time to buy, representing a record low since the mortgage giant began its survey back in 2010. Meanwhile, 67% of us believe it is a good time to sell. Other recent data have reflected how homebuyers continue to encounter significant hurdles in making a successful offer on a property. An analysis from Zillow found that 47% of homes in the U.S. were on the market less than a week before an offer was accepted, and 76% were on the market for less than a month. Other research has shown that the inventory of homes for sale remains near a record low. Amid the fierce competition for homes, that low supply is causing prices to hit record highs. 8 minutes now in front of the hour on this morning. Once again, here's Jennifer Koschenka.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
President Biden has broken off negotiations with a group of Republican senators led by Shelley Moore Capito of West Virginia amid disagreements over the structure and size of his proposed infrastructure spending plan. With talks with Capito's group effectively dead, Biden shifted his efforts toward negotiations with a bipartisan group of 20 senators, GOP Senator Mitt Romney of Utah.
We made a lot of good progress, a very good meeting. We went through line by line, and we've got a pretty good agreement on most of those.
The president and top cabinet members will continue discussions with the group on infrastructure during President Biden's trip to Europe.
Number two.
The Senate has overwhelmingly approved a bill that aims to boost U.S. semiconductor production and the development of artificial intelligence and other technology in the face of growing international competition, most notably from China. The centerpiece of the bill is a $50 billion emergency allotment for semiconductor development and manufacturing.
Number three.
Police say a 7-year-old boy from San Jose was the child whose body was found near a highway outside Las Vegas 10 days ago, and his mother is suspected of killing him. Las Vegas Lieutenant Ray Spencer says 35-year-old Samantha Rodriguez was last seen May 31st at a Denver area hotel.
She was not alone in Denver when she was found. However, the person that was taken, that she was with in Denver, we do not believe has any involvement whatsoever in this case.
Rodriguez is now sought on a murder warrant. Terry McAuliffe, a longtime fixture of Democratic politics, handily won his party's nomination for Virginia governor in his quest for a second term, setting up what's expected to be a hotly contested general election against a wealthy businessman and political newcomer, GOP nominee Glenn Youngkin. As more people get vaccinated, public health officials are issuing new travel advice for more than 120 countries. The CDC has updated its international travel guidance, moving 33 countries, including Iceland, Israel, and Singapore, to the lowest risk category. The CDC recommends avoiding travel to countries at level 4, the highest threat level, which have more than 500 coronavirus cases per 100,000 residents in the last 28 days. Level 4 countries include Brazil, India, and Iraq.
All right, thank you, Jen. Coming up next, elephants on the loose. In the sport of business, we're all players. And with the game always changing, you need to be versatile. So does your wardrobe. You want both style and comfort to look as good as you feel inside the office or out. That's what Cuts Clothing is all about. Cuts Clothing keeps you sharp wherever the game takes you, from the boardroom to the bar to the gym. How? They reinvented men's clothing, starting with the t-shirt. Their Pika Tri-Blend fabric is buttery soft, wrinkle-free, and keeps its shape. Everything I've worn from Cuts is next-level comfort. Their polos, hoodies, and crew sweatshirts, all classics, made modern with custom-engineered fabrics you have to wear to believe. So versatile, you'll never need to take them off, and so comfortable, you won't want to. It's not just the lifestyle. It's not just clothing. It's office leisure apparel for the sport of business. Get 15% off your first order by going to cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's cutsclothing.com/Gordon for 15% off the only shirt worth wearing. Thanks for being with us. The latest social media stars from China are large, riding a sugar high, and destroying everything. They may also need a map. In recent weeks, a herd of 15 wild elephants on a long, strange trip out of the jungles of far southwestern China have transfixed millions across the country. The Wall Street Journal says since the elephants left a wildlife reserve near China's border with Laos and Myanmar last year, they've marched steadily northward and, as of today, have been roaming the outskirts of Kunming, a city of 8.5 million people. The elephants, which have gone into rural villages and somewhat larger towns, have shown a continued interest in wooden barrels of alcohol. Last month, one of the baby elephants passed out after drinking a kind of fermented alcohol and was only able to rejoin the herd the next day. Along the way, the elephants have broken into villagers' homes, eaten their food, drank their water, and destroyed their crops. All told, the herd has now caused more than 400 separate incidents of damage. That'll do it for this hour. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News. Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.